The Force Field is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Listen to other great tech podcasts at www.techpodcasts.com.
From Charlotte, North Carolina, for IT service providers, it's The Force Field with Rick Savoia. And now, here is your host, Rick Savoia.
Greetings, providers. Welcome to the unofficial podcast for IT service providers, The Force Field. I am your host, Rick Savoia, and during the next half hour, we'll cover the news, views, reviews, and interviews for and about the IT industry and the Force Field community. Our call-in segment is open to all listeners Saturday nights from 10:30 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern. Call 407-278-5698. That's 407-278-5698. Or you can call in via Skype at Savoia Computer if you'd like to be part of the show. In the last two episodes of The Force Field, we discussed how the downturn in the economy has affected small IT service businesses and what they expect to encounter in the coming year. This week, we'll ask a provider in another area of the country to weigh in on the situation and find out where he thinks the industry is headed. But first, let's take a look at what's going on elsewhere in the IT industry. Circuit City announced that it will clear out inventory and close its stores beginning January 17th. In an announcement posted on its website January 16th, the big box retail consumer electronics chain said the company was going out of business and would close all 567 stores across the country. The company said it would begin liquidation sales January 17th and sell off remaining inventory until the end of March. FireDog Tech Services will complete existing repairs, but no further jobs will be performed. The announcement came as no surprise to the industry, as Circuit City has struggled for a number of years against competitors such as Best Buy and Walmart. The company filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in November 2008 and already closed some of its stores. The company was also in talks with at least two potential buyers in an attempt to sell off the chain. However, the deals fell through and left the company with no other option but to shut down. "We are extremely disappointed by this outcome," Vice Chairman and Acting CEO James Markham said in a press release on the company's website January 16th. The company had been in continuous negotiations regarding a going concern transaction. "Regrettably for the more than 30,000 employees of Circuit City and our loyal customers, we were unable to reach an agreement with our creditors and lenders to structure a going concern transaction in the limited time frame available, and so this is the only possible path for our company," Markham said. The closing comes at a difficult time for the nation's economy. It will add 34,000 employees to the number of jobless. It will also leave fewer competitors in the retail consumer electronics market and will leave consumers with fewer choices. From time to time, I hear service providers ask where they can find sample templates and forms for use in their IT business. While you can find a document here and there to customize and use, what would be better is to find an entire collection of such forms in one easy-to-manage compilation. Well, Bryce Whitty has done just that, and it's available now. The Computer Business Kit is a collection of sample business forms and documents that are needed in the computer business. It contains maintenance contract samples, work order samples, engagement forms, and more. I have the kit, and I think Bryce and the good folks at TechNibble did an excellent job of putting this together. Whether you're just starting up your own computer business or you've been doing it for years, the Computer Business Kit can help make the daily management of your business a little easier. The Computer Business Kit is priced at $49 and can be purchased at TechNibble.com. However, we are going to give one away to one lucky listener right here on the Force Field podcast. All you have to do is send me an email with the number and the name of the Force Field episode, which featured Bryce Whitty and TechNibble on the show. Place the words TechNibble Contest in the subject line and email your answer to me at comments@theforcefield.net by January 30, 2009. All correct entries will be placed in a drawing to be held January 31st, and the name of the winner will be announced on the show. Don't wait until the deadline. Here is your chance to win the Computer Business Kit free. Get your entries in now. Microsoft released Windows 7 Beta to the public January 9th. Windows 7, the next generation of the Microsoft Windows operating system, is purportedly leaner and faster than its predecessor, Windows Vista, while retaining Vista's overall core. Preliminary reports from users who downloaded the beta confirm that it is indeed faster and more stable than Vista, and while it is being considered by some as a redressed Windows Vista, the general consensus among users and analysts alike is that Windows 7 is what Vista should have been from the beginning. Of course, this is only the first beta release. It's not a finished product. However, it does seem to be a solid and stable beta, which is more than Vista was when it went gold. Even Vista's first service pack didn't improve the performance or the image of the beleaguered operating system, and served to hurt Microsoft's market share more than help it. Because of this warmer reception to Windows 7, some industry experts believe Microsoft could release it to market sooner than expected. Whether or not it's a good idea to actually do so, it's a good question to ask, given the fact that Microsoft made that mistake once already by rushing release of Vista, and has been paying the price for it ever since. However, once the word gets out that Windows 7 is stable and doesn't consume their PCs, there is a real possibility that during the coming months, a large number of Vista users could ditch an operating system in final release for a better one in beta. Considering this, perhaps an early gold release of Windows 7 is worth the risk. It probably wouldn't hurt. And that's the news in the Force Field. I am very particular about what goes in the Force Field, and I only promote products and services that I either use myself or would use if I needed them. This week I would like to introduce you to a new sponsor who I've been using myself for reliable web hosting to keep the Force Field online 24/7. GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's hosting plans are bigger and better than ever with 99% uptime, free 24/7 support, and no annual commitment. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much more. Here's the best part. As a listener of the Force Field, enter the code BLU101 when you check out and save an additional 10% on your web hosting order. You want reliable web hosting at a great price? Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply, so see site for details. That's GoDaddy.com. You're listening to The Force Field, and this is the part of the show I look forward to the most, as it is the opportunity to talk to my fellow professionals in the field. If you'd like to talk, you can call me at 407-CPU-JOY-8. That's 407-278-5698, or through Skype at Savoia Computer. If you don't have Skype, simply go to the Force Field podcast episodes page at theforcefield.net and click the Skype icon located on the right sidebar. The download is free, the call is free, and the show is free. And you can't beat free. So call in and dare to enter the Force Field. In our last two episodes, we talked with two different providers and heard how they think a downturn in the economy could affect their businesses in the coming year. In part one, we talked with Pat Palmer, heard how his business is doing well in spite of the economy, and how he expects this trend to continue in the months and years to come. In part two, we spoke with Chris Crispell and heard essentially the same thing. Each lives in a different part of the country. However, both providers have similar businesses and share similar experiences with similar success. Needless to say, both have a similar outlook on the future. This week, we'll talk with a service provider who has taken a slightly different track. His name is Chrysantos Hajibrahim. Chrysantos is the founder and CEO of Virus Woman, a VAR located in California. We'll learn why he entered a new and growing area of the IT market to keep his business profitable, hear how he did it, and find out how he is riding out the economic storm in the cloud, in part 3 of our 4-part series on the state of the IT industry. And we're talking to Chrysantos. Hi, Chrysantos. Welcome to the Force Field.
Oh, thanks a lot, Rick. Pleasure to be here.
First of all, tell us a little bit about yourself and your company.
Well, first off, I'd like to say, you know, my name's Chrysantos, and I am a IT bar guy, kind of guy like that, and I started a company called Virus Woman, you know, with the help of OnForce, you know, just like a lot of people out there, and OnForce gave me my start. At the time, it was computer repair when I started, and I'm out here in the L.A. market, you know, and OnForce gave me my start, you know, kind of get some income into a company that wasn't even really there. And Virus Woman now is pretty much we do a lot of services, you know, pretty much anything that has to do with break fix, installations, rollouts. And now we just recently started doing a lot of Google application support, which has allowed us to kind of diversify ourselves and to, you know, stay afloat, you know, in these tough times.
When did you actually start it, by the way?
I actually started in 2004. I started it when I saw, you know, I signed up for OnForce, and I remember I heard one of your podcasts before, and just like you, I was like, wow, this is a cool concept. I didn't think the concept would work. A couple months later, I saw a first work order, and I was like, you know what, let me try and see what happens if I pick it up. And I picked it up and started building a relationship with all these clients, and they just started sending me all these work orders. So that's pretty much how it kind of started.
And you started off as a one-man band pretty much?
Well, I mean, I had somebody. I brought somebody with me right away. I actually brought, right when I started, because I knew I needed somebody in the office. So I had this girl, her name was Stephanie. I was in college at the time. She was in my econ class. And I was like, you know, you want to start a business with me? And, you know, she came with me. And it was me and her in the beginning. And then, you know, brought some other people on board because I knew that, you know, we were in such a large market that I knew there was going to be a lot of work.
And how many employees do you have now?
Now we are down to, we have a couple full-time employees, but we have more subcontractors now, more than we had before. We used to have a lot more full-time employees, but now we've gone to, due to cost-cutting things that needed to be in place, we've gone to a lot of subcontractors.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been discussing the effects of the current economy on the IT industry and how it could impact our businesses in the months and the years to come. And we've also been talking about possible ways to ride out the economic storm and perhaps even turn a bad situation into opportunity. And in times like these, it's not unusual for companies to try something new or diversify by offering supplemental services or moving into other markets to keep themselves profitable. You're doing something just a little different. What is that?
Well, we're working with Google Applications. I realize that software as a service is going to be huge, you know, and the only problem is I'm not a programmer, so I can't develop software or do anything like that. But I started realizing, especially a lot with the open source market, that a lot of people were developing these programs that were pretty stable, you know, they worked, but there was nobody really to offer the support for them. And I remember this story. I don't know if you guys remember Net Zero. Do you remember when Net Zero came on back
oh,
in the
yes.
early, late 1990s, 2000s?
Oh, yeah.
I remember I was working for this guy in Oceanside, California, and he had this big sign outside of his door. He had a beautiful store in a strip mall in Oceanside. He had a sign outside his door. He said, free internet. And I asked him, and his name was Art. I was like, Art, I was like, how can you be selling free internet, you know, when it's not even yours to sell? You know, it was Net Zero. And he's like, I'm not selling the internet. He's like, I'm selling the service. And when he told me that, it really stuck in my brain. For whatever reason, that stuck in my brain because it made a valid point that he was just providing the service for something that was already there that somebody didn't know about it. So that was worth something to be paid for. So with these open source platforms like Sugar CRM, there's BTiger, especially CRM software, I have to say that, and like OpenOffice, mm-hmm. People don't know about these programs, even like things like Google Apps. And you can pretty much, by showing people that you can save them money, you can charge for one of those types of services.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nobody really providing that type of support, if you know what I mean.
Right, and that's pretty much what the open source model is based on, is not so much selling the open source software as it is selling the services and support on those programs, because a lot of people are new to those programs. There's going to be a bit of a learning curve. There's going to be some training involved. There's going to be some support on the back end.
And Rick, you said the key word. You said the training. Mm-hmm. Training is probably, see, a lot of VAR guys, people like me, VARs, we don't have the patience to do training. But if you have the patience to do the training on anything, there's a lot of money to be made on that.
Oh, yes. Yes. I've done a little bit of that in my business. Now, for our listeners who may not work with Google Apps or Software as a Service, also known as SaaS, can you give us a brief overview of how this works to monetize it for your business?
Well, basically, let me give you an example. I ran into a dermatology office about a couple months ago. And I was looking at their process. They had an Excel sheet, the way they were communicating. They have a product line. It's called Kaplan MD. And they have this product line, very high-end dermatology clinic, and they have their own lotions and stuff like that. And I saw how they were communicating among the sales reps and all that stuff. And I said to them, I was like, look, there's this open-source type of CRM system, and it was Zoho, you know? And Zoho is pretty easy. It's not expensive, you know. But they saw it, and it was just overwhelming, because when you look at a CRM system like Zoho, it's like only $15 a user, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought this would be a great fit for them. The only problem is they didn't have anybody to kind of customize it for them, teach them how it works, you know, and all that stuff. So that's where I stepped in. I said, listen, you know, and they put me on a retainer, and it probably took, I mean, a good 2 weeks to get that CRM system operating. And now their whole business is running out, and they were so happy. They were so happy. And I didn't develop the software. I mean, it was already there. It was there for them to be used. You know, and all they had to do was pay $15, but they didn't have somebody to help, because there's so much technology out there, Rick. There's mm-hmm. so much. And a lot of people are just overwhelmed, and these people who are trying to cut costs and implement these new technologies, they don't know where to go or who to go to get help. You know, and I think a lot of people have bad taste in their mouth from VARs. Mm-hmm. They've had bad experiences with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now, more than ever, I think the people aspect really needs to come into play and kind of build more of that trust. It's very important to have a relationship, you know, with the software companies who do software as a service, because they don't want to provide the support. Mm-hmm. I spoke at Google, right? I spoke at the developer conference in Google back in April. And I had, like, some of the brilliant, most wonderful-minded people who develop all kinds of code. They came up to me after I spoke. And a lot of them told me, like, Chris, I don't want to provide the support. You know, I just want to develop my software that people use. And if you could provide the support, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw, I encouraged them to reach out to the VAR community. I even told them how to find VARs. I was like, just Google computer repair in your local city,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you'll find them. That's how you find them. And you'll see a whole list of them, but those guys can help you, so you don't have to carry the cost of offering support. Let the VARs provide the support. Let them make money.
Mm-hmm. Well, I saw the video. It's actually up on YouTube right now, and we're going to put a link to it. This was at the Google I.O. 2008 conference, and I'm going to put up a link to it on the site and in the RSS feed notes for this episode of The Forest Field, so the listeners can take a look at it. I think you said some very important things to the developers there, because I think there is a disconnect there between the developers and the VARs in that sense. But that's another topic for another show. However, I'm going to include the link, because I think it's a very good thing for the listeners to take a look at. It'll give them some thought and maybe make the wheels turn a little bit and say, hey, you know, how can I profit from this as well? And this has been profitable for you?
Yeah, it's been very profitable. Actually, you know, I'm not driving out as much. I'm not, you know, spending my time in traffic. You know, for those of you who live in these big metropolitan cities like Los Angeles, you try to limit your drive time and try to, like, do more stuff over the internet, over remote support connection. And there's so much more that's coming down the pipe, you know, with these companies, especially like the virtual drives, you know, online backups, open office. I mean, there's just so much coming down the road, and I see a lot of potential. I really don't see it as a bad time for technology. I really see it as an amazing time, really, really, because now people are going to be forced to look at these new technologies where before they weren't forced because money was coming in, everything was doing good. Why change the system? But now with everything going down, companies or businesses who want to stay in business, they're going to be forced to look at these new software as a service companies or alternatives like managed services. Mm-hmm. And we're there. The VARs are the front lines. We're the face of technology for the most part.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, do you still offer your standard services as VirusWoman?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Are you moving away from that much to completely focus on this?
No. I mean, we still provide those types of services. Mm-hmm. And I highly recommend that a lot of people look for those who are tired. Because I remember I talked to one other guy who was on the Enforce system, and he's in my area. And he's like, Chris, I'm really tired. And he was one of the other guys who was highly ranked up on Enforce. He's like, Chris, I'm really tired of doing work orders. And I got burned out from doing work orders probably 2 years ago. And he's like, I really want to kind of get what you got going on. And honestly, you got to try to start using Enforce the way Enforce uses you. Mm-hmm. Start using Enforce to route work orders.
Now, given the current economic climate and the financial forecast for the coming year or two, how do you think it will impact VirusWoman? Do you think your revenue will decrease or increase? Where do you think your company will be a year from now?
Believe it or not, Rick, I think the revenues are actually going to increase.
Really?
I really, really believe that. I think it's going to increase because our cost, we've really cut down on our cost. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by cost is because before we were a full-service computer repair shop / IT service company. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had people on board. We were paying their payroll. We were paying their workman's comp. We were paying for insurance, paying for their gas, all these costs. And now, because we're focusing on software as a service, we're partners with Google, we get a lot of service calls that don't require us to go out and do work, drive around where you lose money from driving, you lose money from gas, you lose money from them calling you back and having to go back out there. And with all this, you can just sit in an office and do this stuff all day, and your profits are way better. Way, way better. And you can do this on a national scale, where computer services, you can only do it in your local region.
Right. So you're saying that the next year or two, it looks pretty bright for your company and possibly for the IT industry in general, moving into this direction towards software as a service, managed services, other online remote support repairs, things like that.
Absolutely. I really, really think that it's going to be a great time for those innovative VARs who don't get caught up in all this hoopla about all recession, all this, you know, whatever it is, you can't get caught up into it. You've got it. There's always opportunity. Always there's opportunity. And if you start believing that this, my business is bad or this is bad, that's what's going to happen. You're going to start having a bad business. Mm-hmm. But I really believe that everybody needs to stay optimistic, do what they can, and just apply common sense.
Look for the opportunities. Look for the opportunities.
Absolutely. I was just thinking, you know, it's like for everybody who's probably listening to your show, I'm sure there's a couple of us out there who are probably very positive, very outgoing, very optimistic. And then there's those others who might be like, oh, everything's bad. Everything's terrible. Why am I going to even try? But it's the ones who see opportunity, who have vision, who are not afraid. You will see that those are the guys who are going to succeed in these hard times.
That's the attitude to have. Absolutely. If you had stayed with your original business model and had not made this move to diversify, where do you think your company would be now? Would it be doing as well, or would it be a different situation?
I'd be hurting. I'd really be hurting. Mm-hmm. It would be very painful because there's probably a lot of the viewers out there know, you know, a lot of big companies, I'm sure a lot of the companies that sent me to work, sent those guys work, but they're all dwindled down, you know, to practically zero. Mm-hmm. You know, and I honestly, you know, I got to thank God for the things that I have. you know, because it wasn't me personally. It's not like I intentionally went after software as a service. It was just, it just landed in my lap. I'm just doing whatever comes in front of me. I don't turn down any opportunity. I think the best thing is to be open-minded and don't turn anything down. Don't be driven by price. Don't look at it as like, oh, this is only going to make me $35. Because you don't know where that might lead you to.
So keep your eyes open to any new opportunities, check them out, and go for it.
Yeah, and don't be so looking at it like, oh, this is not worth my time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just keep your mind open.
Well, Chrysantas, I want to thank you for joining us on the Force Field today. I really appreciate it, and I think those are encouraging words, and I think that's some good advice.
Well, thanks, Rick. I really mean that. I really mean all that stuff. You know, I really believe that.
And I do encourage everyone to check out the Google I.O. presentation for Google I.O. 2008. We're going to have a link for it in the RSS feed for this episode, and it will be up on the Force Field website as well. I encourage everyone to take a look at it. Chrysantas made some very good points in that presentation, as well as the other speakers, and I think it will give you something to think about in the near future. Chrysantas, thanks a lot. Your website is www.viruswoman.com. That's viruswoman.com, correct?
Yes, sir.
And hopefully we'll have you on here very shortly to pick up the discussion on Google Apps a little further, maybe delve into that a little more.
No, Rick, I really, really enjoyed your show. I listened to some of your stuff, and I really, really enjoyed the way your approach is, and I've never heard anybody like you. I mean, it sounds really good.
Well, I appreciate it, but I'm only as good as the guests and the listeners. So, but thanks a lot, Chrysantas, and you have a great day.
All right, you too, sir. Have
sure. Take care. In our next episode, we'll talk with an industry insider, the VAR guy, and ask him where the industry is headed as we conclude with part four of our four-part series on the state of the IT industry. Well, folks, our time is up. I would like to thank everyone for listening, my kids for allowing me to do this without interruptions, and my wife for just putting up with me. If you would like to comment on the program, you can email me at rick@theforcefield.net or visit our website at www.theforcefield.net. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and do not represent The Force Field, Savoia Computer, or advertisers. All music on the show is original and was written and performed by Brother Rancid and the Brand New Pygmies. Our announcer is Felix DeCat. The show is produced and distributed by Savoia Computer. For The Force Field, I'm Rick Savoia. May the Force Field be with you.